Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
All right, welcome to another episode of Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host, Jace, along with Manny and Jaden.
Hey there.
And if you're not familiar with the Top Cow Chronology Project, Manny and I are going through and reading each of the Top Cow Artifact Universe comics in chronological order, starting way back in ancient Egypt all the way up to present day. If you want to follow along with us, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. Just click on the Top Cow Chronology link. On that page, you'll see a Comic Vine logo. That will take you to the Comic Vine Top Cow Chronology page created by user Condor. We want to thank him for all his hard work. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about Trinity Blood on the Sands. It's a one-shot from Top Cow, released in July 2009. Done a little bit differently. The whole issue was written by Philip W. Smith, but it's broken up into chapters. The first chapter is The Darkness, the second chapter is Witchblade, the third chapter is Angelus, and then the fourth chapter, you're back to The Darkness. So The Darkness sections were penciled by Sheldon Mitchell, with inks by Joe Weems and colors by Arif Prianto. Witchblade, the art was by Admira Wijeha, and notice I say art, not pencils, with Sunny Go of IFS. And then in the Angelus, the pencils and inks are by Tom Greinberg, and colors again by Sunny Go of IFS. So that Witchblade part, it says art by Admira Wijeha, with Sunny Go, that is all digital. There's no doubt about it. It's digitally painted. There's no inks to be spoken of because it's all digital. So it gives it a very, for me, kind of a washed out look, a little bit of a painted look, but at the same time, very cold. I don't care for it much. And then, same thing with the Angelus. It's traditional pencils, but then digital colors. So it doesn't have that traditional comic look. Much like the cover was done. The cover art was by Stefan Sedgwick, but then it's digitally painted, so it just looks very slick and, you know, painted, and it's just not my style of art. You know, being that this was 2009, digital art hadn't come anywhere near where it's at now.
Yeah.
Where you can paint and draw digitally, and it feels much more like traditional comic art. This looks very, I don't know, plastic, I guess you'd say. All right, well, that's my overall thoughts about the art. Let's talk about overall thoughts about the book. What did you think, Jaden?
I thought it was cool that they touched on all three of the, or three different subjects, like The Darkness, Witchblade, and Angelus. And the fact that they were such short stories, it was very concise and there wasn't any beating around the bush. I do like that, but it also, I kind of wish they could have elaborated a little bit more on the second story, which I liked a lot more than the other two.
Manny, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed all three of them. Probably the one I enjoyed the least, not because it was a bad story, just because it was typical, was The Darkness. You knew what was going to happen, and, you know, it didn't fail at the end. The two I found more interesting were the Witchblade, because, and the Angelus, because, you know, there are aspects of it that, especially the Angelus, which this is the first time we've probably seen it, but the Witchblade, it was actually split into two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were younger when they were, given the Witchblade, or deemed worthy of it. And, yeah, you know, the other couple of, episodes ago, I talked about maybe, you know, that the origin stories are getting kind of lame, but this is one where I wish we had a little bit more background, and not just the two girls already wielding the Witchblade. But it was very enjoyable to have all three.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as the darkness goes. Yeah, the ending was pretty much you could see coming a mile away. I did find in the second story the Witchblade being split into two very interesting. Hadn't thought of it much, but we did see in those first eight issues of Witchblade, Sarah sometimes struggle between her light and dark side. So it was interesting to see that the Witchblade itself has a light and dark side, as indicated by the different colored jewels. So that was pretty interesting. And then, yeah, as you said, it's the first time we've seen the Angelus. The problem I had with that story was that it was narrated by the Bearer of the Darkness also, even though it was the Angelus story. And, you know, without much background or knowing much about the Angelus, you know, I almost felt like, okay, why am I reading this? Because why am I supposed to care about these characters? I know so little.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? It was almost like that, you could almost consider that just another darkness chapter as well. So it was hard for me to, I had to read it twice just to understand what was going on. Because, you know, the art wasn't super clear and, you know, not very good in my opinion. So let me give a quick synopsis. As I said, there are four chapters. The Darkness, the Witchblade, the Angelus, and then back to the Darkness. So the story starts out, they were in the Arabian Desert, the 14th century, and we see that some raiders are attacking an encampment, and they seem to be not really after anything other than blood. They did not come for treasure or sport, they came for flesh, so they apparently kill the men and take the women. And there's a young boy who's left, and he seeks out his grandfather who's on his last breath and says that there's one in the desert that men such as these raiders would fear, and he's going to seek him out, the Dark One. And he said, no, my grandson, you must not. The dragon of the desert must not be disturbed. He was once a man, but now he's a demon. He's vicious and cruel. He has no honor, but in order to save his sister, he's attempts to contact him. So he basically wanders in the desert until he passes out, and then the demons come up from below, pull him down into the Shadow City where the darkness rules. And he says, I'm Idris, I bear all the darkness. And then we switch to the next story. We learn about two girls, Amana and Amala. They were sisters. They grew to womanhood, roaming the desert plains. And apparently, in their youth, the Witchblade sought them out. By what means or purpose it chose a pair so young is not known. But it split itself. It was sundered between the two, its power divided. One used the power as a tool to cultivate life and beauty. The other, basically, her nature turned cruel. She tested her powers by tormenting animals. And eventually she was cast out. As time went by, she continued to use her part of the Witchblade to kill. And eventually she had to confront her sister. And driven by love and purpose, Amani, who was the wielder of the good part of the Witchblade, came to accept that she must kill her sister, and eventually she does, and the balance is restored. So the final of the Trinity that we meet is the Angelus, and as I said, this story is actually narrated by the Bearer of the Darkness, Idris. And basically in the story, what has happened is the mistress or wife of the Bearer of the Angelus, who also has some of the power, was corrupted by the wielder of the darkness and enslaved. He said it was no easy task to enslave her, but I am patient. So he was able to enslave her and bring her over to his side. But in the meantime, Abdul Salam, greatest of the Angelus host, discovered where they were, and he goes to rescue her in this temple where all members of this formerly peaceful religious sect have been transformed into demon-like creatures by the darkness. He defeats them and eventually confronts his former mistress and is forced to kill her. And then he turns and says, "Come and face me, demon." And we see the wielder of the darkness emerge. He says, "Do not struggle, my young friend. Be merry. You've done a great thing. You've saved your mistress and set the Angelus free. You should be pleased." And he said, "You violated her, desecrated her body, drove her mad. For that, you will suffer." But the darkness fades away, and Abdul says, "This is not over." The final chapter, we're back to Idris speaking with the young boy who wants Idris to help save his sister. He agrees. Mansur, the brother, says the only thing he has to offer is himself. He offers his body and his life in service. And Idris says, "Very well. For hatred and for vengeance, I believe an accommodation can be made." They attack the raiders and slaughter them to a man. And then he actually takes the raiders and says he's going to use them to increase his vicious and cruel horde, as well as enslaving all the remaining members of Mansur's tribe. And Mansur says, "Why? I would serve you. I beg you, set my people free." And Idris says, "There are customs of the desert, Mansur, son of Aban. Mine are now the ways of chaos and death. Mine are the ways of darkness, and along that path, good people die." So basically, I took it to mean that the darkness is no good. That's what this story told me, no matter who wields it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have seen in the past that it has done some good. It definitely seems to be willing to be a tool of revenge or vengeance, whether that it's justified or not. As far as the Witchblade goes, the Witchblade story, just learning that it could be split in two was interesting. I don't know, like you said, Manny, it would have been nice to get a little more. We didn't really see much. I very much dislike the art in that second chapter, the art of the Witchblade that the digitally painted, especially because the actual Witchblade itself was rendered in such clean lines that it looked metallic and robotic.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, every other time we've seen the Witchblade, it looks organic and, you know, it just, they look like, I don't know, some stylized Dr. Octopus arms or something coming out from the girls, you know, and it looked the same every time. And as we've seen in, you know, previous renderings of the Witchblade, it looks different every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very much organic. And then, yeah, don't know enough about the Angelus to really understand that story at this point. But, you know, I've already said what I didn't care much, you know, what I didn't like about that story. It didn't focus enough on the Angelus. It was more like a darkness chapter 3, if you will.
Yeah, so, if it didn't say at the end what, like, if it didn't give a quick summary of all three things at the end, I wouldn't even really known exactly what it was.
Yeah, I mean, you do see a few in the few of the pictures where he's got those wings that are popping out, so you know that there's something going on there. But, you know, again, kind of a cliched story. You know, his wife, mistress, whatever, is kidnapped and, you know, turned evil and he has to kill her. We're supposed to feel bad for him. It's so tragic. He has to kill her to set her free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can't really feel bad for them because you don't really know the story. It's not until afterwards where you're like, oh, yeah. I guess they were together.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I had read the little paragraph at the end, and then I went back and I understood it a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of the weaker issues we've read in quite some time. It almost feels like maybe they did this issue just to kind of show that even back in ancient times, these three most powerful artifacts crossed paths even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, it almost seems like one of those free comic day ones.
Comic book day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it may be a story that once we understand the nature of the artifacts and the nature of the artifact universe a little better, that we'll be able to look back on this and go, yeah, okay, I can appreciate that a little more. Even back in ancient times, the bearers of the artifacts crossed paths, and it wasn't all, you know, oh, let's team up to go against, you know, they fought amongst themselves rather than, oh, let's team up and fight against some other outside evil. And we're also maybe seeing that, as I said, clearly the bearer of the darkness in this comic is evil, but that's maybe not always the case. I mean, we've seen bearers of the Witchblade who are much more heroic than others.
Yeah.
So, it does seem to me, though, that, you know, the Angelus supposedly is the, they say, they call it the opposite of the darkness. And apparently, you know, I mean, just based on the name, you know, Angelus, Angel, and that guy's clearly heroic. So, you know, the little description in the back, the Angelus force is the polar opposite of the darkness. Like the darkness, the Angelus bonds with the human host to carry out its physical mission in the corporeal world. Unlike the darkness, the Angelus traditionally possesses its host, leaving little of the host's personality intact. So,
yeah, I found that pretty interesting.
That, I mean, I would take that to mean that if the Angelus itself is leaving little of the host's personality, then, and the Angelus itself is a force for good, then that one's always going to be kind of more heroic. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to pretty much force you to be heroic.
Whereas, you know, the Witchblade we've seen, when it bonds with somebody who tends to be heroic, like Sarah Pazzini, you know, she uses it as a force for good. But when it bonds with somebody like Raquel, who's materialistic and shallow and petty and full of greed and self-centered, she's going to use it to do, you know, not so good things.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point with the darkness, it's just too soon to tell. So, I mean, maybe that Witchblade sometimes choosing somebody who tends to be less heroic than other times could be that part of the Witchblade that we first see here, that it can split in two. It's got two aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one aspect of the Witchblade is choosing at some moments, and another at other moments, you know, the more evil aspect of the, or the darker side of the Witchblade is choosing, oh, I want her. She tortures animals. Let's, you know, bond with her. So, what'd you guys think about the art?
I liked the art and darkness and the whole darkness. I actually liked the art quite a bit. I feel the same way as you about the digital painting around this time. I just feel like it loses a lot of depth. Like, you don't get to see as much facial detail because it all seems to be just really soft.
And it's very cold.
Yeah.
You don't feel that traditional, you know, warmth and depth of field that you get with traditional comic pencils.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I said, it feels very plastic.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Just darkness seems to have the strongest art. My favorite page is page 6 with, you know, you have him with all the snakes coming around him and the colors and just this facial expression of, you know, there's no doubt that he's wielding the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, all the little details with, like, the goblins in the background. Also, the scorpion's a nice touch at the bottom. Bunch of weapons, so obviously a lot of people have come to him for favors, and, well, we know what happens in the end with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing with the digital painting, especially in the second chapter, is, there's basically no backgrounds.
Like, I would say 12 has the most background, and it's pretty much just one little mountain with a camel on top.
I felt like the dialogue was interesting also, you know, in as much as all three of these stories are written by the same guy, so, you know, even though they're different chapters, you don't necessarily expect the dialogue to really be that different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to talk about pacing within stories that are, you know, so short as these. And you can talk about the pacing overall, and it's a little inconsistent, but just because, you know, some of the chapters take place over greater periods of time. I mean, the third chapter with the Angelus basically takes place in, I don't know, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, whereas the first one, it takes place over days because the guy's wandering in the desert. And the second story takes place over a great span of years, talking about the two sisters being so young and getting the Witchblade. So, again, I don't know that Top Cow did themselves any favor setting the book up this way, because you can't really, you know, have even pacing.
I feel like what they were trying to do is trying to introduce people to these artifacts, but the stories were too short that if you didn't really know anything about it, it would be kind of hard to even get anything from it.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe that's what they were doing at first also, but being that they were so short and didn't cover what the actual artifacts are, I started thinking about it more, and that's when I kind of think maybe, like I said, they just wanted a book that would show that even way back when these three artifacts crossed paths, mm-hmm. or the bearers of these artifacts crossed paths. You know, just maybe just a way to enrich the, you know, backstory of their artifact universe. Or another consideration is that they wanted to give these artists a try. You know, they wanted to see how their stuff would actually look, you know, as an actual comic. All right, anything else we want to say about this issue, guys?
No, I think that's about it.
They were good.
All right, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. If you'd like to send us an email, the address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And, of course, you can contact us through our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. While you're there, you can check out Manny's blog. You can watch my YouTube channel videos, check out the sketch gallery, listen to episodes of the podcast maybe you've missed. The book that we're going to cover next is Witchblade Obakamano. That is a one-shot graphic novel. It's about 80 pages. It's available at in-stock trades for $5.70 plus shipping, or if you look on eBay, it's about $3 or $4 plus shipping, so I'm not sure if it's available on Comixology. I didn't find it there, but I didn't search real hard, to be honest with you, so let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you guys. Leave comments at the website on the individual pages for the podcast episodes, or drop us an email and let us know how we're doing. Go to our Facebook page, let us know, send us a tweet, however you want to do it. Got some conventions coming up that we'll be at pretty soon. Phoenix Comic Con at the end of May, and then, of course, the big San Diego Comic Con in July. All right, talk to you next time.